could you develop that, Mr. Finn? I'm fascinated by that, by the development of the Mini Max, then the Hiatus, and then the quick run through the Harrelstone. Mark Kelly, did you say?
Mark Kelly was the designer.
Yeah. What level was he then?
He was a design manager in the Advanced Studio.
Advanced Studio, okay. Who was in Coppa was running the studio? Or at least Coppa's group.
It's Coppa's group, and I really don't remember who Mark's boss was.
Yeah.
Again, I think it might have been Zocas.
Uh-huh.
Not really sure of it.
Yeah.
Or, there's an Englishman over there. But regardless of all of that, as we received the vehicle, engineering did a complete turnabout and said the vehicle wasn't feasible. So every damn surface on that whole vehicle, we did it completely over. We could clear this particular point, that particular point, what have you. Even its method of assembly was different.
How did this come about? Sloppy work on the engineering department.
It was just bullshit. It really was.
Yeah.
They sold a vehicle that wasn't feasible, and we just worked our tail off to get that thing and to hold the design together.
Yeah.
And I think we did a fairly good job on it.
Yeah. Was there an earlier Vignale prototype that came in?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
The real pretty one that you saw at the show was done after.
After?
After.
You're putting me on. I didn't
know. And that's what the vehicle really should have looked like.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So that was an elaboration of Kelly's design.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know if Mark did that one or not, but it was done in the studio.
He only brought that up.
Yeah. That's really gorgeous looking vehicle. Yeah.
Why didn't
Well, by the time that we made Mark's vehicle feasible or suitable for engineering to accept.
No, I don't want to slight that.
I'm not trying to slight Mark at all.
No. But what kind of a process went into making it feasible? You guys must have really, and you guys were an engineer.
Well, what happens is that the metal stamping people will come in and say, you have to put a three sweep through this body side.
What's a three sweep?
It's a constant curve. And it perhaps raises, if you drew a straight line, it would be an arc that deflects about 3/8 of an inch from two points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in order to stamp vehicles, each panel has to have some overcrown.
Uh-huh.
And where you put the overcrown in the vehicle is very important to what the surfaces look like. And what we try to do, we try to work with the metal stamping people to preserve the design so that you don't have pillows in the vehicle. You've seen cars that it looks like pillows. The front fender looks like a pillow and the door looks like... And a lot of people don't see that, but we do.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know why they don't like the thing, but those are the reasons that they don't like it.
Right.
So you have to work with the engineers and put the sweeps in the correct places so that you retain the highlights and you retain the integrity of the design. So we have to do every lousy surface on it. The instrument panel had to be done over again. The interior all had to be developed, which wasn't developed, and it was a cursory attempt in the Advanced Studio to do the interior, which was somewhat of a concept, but nothing would have to be done. So the instrument panel had to be done. We did the instrument panel. The entire exterior surfaces. The only thing that remained, I think, was the wheel openings that we didn't touch. Somebody did a very good jaunt study and we didn't have to change the wheel openings. But the bumpers changed, the surfaces.
Obviously, this is nobody's secret.
No, it was nobody's secret. But the thing that we disliked about it was that to be sold down the river, you know, because we have only so much manpower to do a project. And
fit this in must have been
incredible. It was incredible.
Yeah.
took a hell of a lot of effort, extraordinary effort,
on everyone's part in the studio to get the vehicle out on time, to hold our timing, with all the baloney that we had to...
You said it's bullshit. What precisely, why did they do it? Were they busy with other projects and didn't have the time, or what?
To me, it's a ploy by engineering. They didn't have people. They were losing people.
Oh, yeah. They were cutting way back in the day.
They gave bullshit feasibility to the project.
Yeah.
In other words, they told the...
To underline the point?
To get to the vehicle out of their hands, get it out of their shop, get it into the next shop.
Say you guys take it. We've done the money.
Right. So where one engineering group accepts the vehicle as being feasible as it transfers to the next group, then you know they take the negative attitude and say what those guys said, they're bullshit. We're not going to build it that way. And that's precisely what
you have. So you really have to remake the whole thing.
Right. And start from scratch again because you go through the whole process. That was a fun project.
Well, you're proud of what came out of it, except you wish it could have been a little more daring.
Yes.
It looks a bit stilted than what it could have been. Well, it looks a hell of a lot better.
The way Mark had done it also, that little whale's eye window that's everybody thinks it's a little CV that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Only they're trying to make it work.
Are they now?
Was a much nicer little hatch of design. Mm-hmm. And it was a little more unique.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty handsome vehicle
as
he did it.
Yeah.
And then it did suffer a little bit, becoming feasible.
Yeah.
It wasn't as sharp and as voluptuous as Mark had it to begin with because of engineering restraints.
What about the decision not to go from wheel drive, which had been so successful, the Chrysler minivan?
Ford's theory at the time, or at least that's what they expounded to us, that the rear wheel drive is a much better pulling vehicle.
They're still talking about that, but they're beginning to, internally they've gone to the front wheel drive. Are they bringing out the Aerostar with the front wheel drive?
I don't know. That happened after I left, I guess. Because I doubt if they'd do
it.
I don't know. What power pack are they going to use?
I don't know.
Unless they got something they're going to pull out of something else.
Well, I guess between the theory or the marketing theory that towing was the prime requisite, requisite for the audience they had researched.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's an even larger audience out there that uses it not to pull a trailer, but uses it as a complete unit, a family unit.
Yeah.
In other words, as a tricked out, so there can be a trailer, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where they missed the boat. They didn't look too closely at the audience that the Chrysler vehicle was reaching.
There's two different factors in not being a wizard at planning.
A prophet.
I like that better.
Yeah.
Prophet.
Yeah.
Is it, I think Chrysler only had front wheel drive running gear.
See. They might have gone to rear wheel drive.
See?
Right.
Yeah,
you're right. They did, yeah.
In our case, I don't think we have the unit.
Yeah.
As a front wheel drive that would fit in that Aerostar.
Yeah.
You see? So, see, these are the constraints.
Yeah.
We are constraints that we have that are our engines and our drive lines.
Yeah.
And that's really what holds us up.
Yeah.
And that's where we need our R&D work.
Uh-huh.
We should have a whole line of engines. You know, the engine lab over there has spent billions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, where are our new engines?
They fired all the engineers.
Right. In fact, I was reading in some periodical the other day, Continental Aircraft Engine Company hired Ford Motor Company's Vice President of Engineering in the Engine Division, and I didn't pay attention to his name, but he was from Ford Motor Company. But hell, if he was in charge of research,
generation engines,
I don't think so.
Rely,
we don't know anything about that.
15 years are going to rely on what they
have. Yeah. So we're not going to progress too far.
But you spent an exciting 9 years there.
Yes, it was a heck of a lot of fun.
You
really enjoyed it.
Your own boss.
Yes. And again, it was a little disappointing leaving that truck studio. They finally recognized the fact that we had the interior and exterior studios, which truck always kept within itself.
Yeah.
In the other car studios within the design centers have two managers, one an exterior and one an interior.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the exterior manager for the last 8 years that I spent in this one, I'm crying on your shoulder.
Sure.
In the truck studio,
yeah.
I was both. So when we swapped people again,
yeah. They
made an exterior and an interior manager in there, and they made a design exec in there. No, a design director. They still don't have an exec.
They were beginning to realize that this is the bread and butter division.
8 years? Bullshit.
You know,
they gave us a kaputzen again. Obviously, if I knew, you know, I was hoping to make execs in there.
Sure.
And after 8 years of work, I think I should. So you can scratch that off the back of the tape.
Obviously,
they get along with management.
Are you a manager? Personality?
Jack used to work for me, so I guess he figures, oh, that son of a bitch.
Well, what does this mean that you've switched to large car exteriors?
It just means that they wanted to put an exec in there so they would be around.
That's
right. John Aiken. John Aiken. They made John Aiken a director. You know John Aiken? John Aiken, the director, which is the same level as Hollerman, and design director is supposed to at least have one exec underneath him, and then a manager under him.
Yeah.
So he has two managers, interior and exterior, under him in the truck studio. And it just makes balls of money, you know.
Yeah.
On all our new stuff. I don't know. I hear the same thing. I can't say personally.
So you moved over to large car exteriors today.
Right. And now we're working on the 1990 Crown Vic and Mercury Marquis replacements.
Have they designated them yet?
Yeah, it's called the
EN48.
Right. And they really don't know whether or not they're going to phase out the present LTD and Mercury Marquis in 90 or not. It depends on when.
On sale.
Can you imagine that old dog running
that model? Still selling that crazy. Well,
yeah.
It tells you something.
Yeah.
That apparently the segment from 40 to 70 still like traditional big cars. I guess if I were going out looking for a safe, economical, rough speaking, a car that wasn't the Econobox, I'd probably buy one too.
It is your best mind.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the safest.
Yeah.
Best engineer.
And it still has a body and a frame.
Right. Yeah, there's no...
The ride is better. The unitized vehicle's still got the harshness.
Oh,
yeah. You know, can't get rid of it.
Well, they're sensible enough to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
There are no flies in all the theories of evolutionary design. This thing is about the puppies.
We see there, something about rear-wheel drive is that if you notice a lot of police cars, and if you notice a lot of them are Fords, a lot of them are Chevrolets, and a lot of them are Chrysler rear-wheel drives that they're taking up in Kenosha, Wisconsin to build. Now the reason that they're doing it is the chase cars jump curves. You cannot jump curves with front-wheel drive automobiles. When you jump the curb, you buy yourself a new automobile. So there's that place for that big old honker V8 and rear wheel drive. You see?
You're right. A lot of the supercars.
Rear wheel drive. Police departments that have gone to the front-wheel drive Chryslers and mini cars have their problems. When they jump a curb, they buy a new car.
It throws out out of whack. Huh?
Well, it destroys it.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
It destroys it. You tear up a little bit of running gear when you run over curbs with a...
Yeah.
They can be repaired with a rear-wheel drive or with a Ford. You know,
you
straighten things
out. Transaxle, it's gone.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy yourself a new one.
Mm-hmm. So Chrysler's got a big market in police cars. Ford's got a big stake. Big sales to police departments.
And a big station wagon.
That's right.
We get the big station.
People still want big station wagon.
Right.
In spite of the Taurus and the Sable station wagon, which are stunning, people want more room.
It's 106, 109 inch wheelbase. Against 114.
By now they probably got it amortized. They must be buying pure profit.
Yeah.
Buying 10 to 15,000.
And the reason why they can run so well is that Panther was tooled up for 4 planes. But it's running in one. They got dies up there wazoo. All paid for.
All paid for.
They won't tell you that.
Well, over the years, what has been your observation to decide? You ever sat down and thought, what the heck kind of business it is? It's exciting and it's frustrating and it's creative and it's and it steals from itself. It's cannibalistic, but
right.
All in all, it's been a pretty exciting career.
I guess the only way I could put it, Dave, as long as you don't print this. It's like being in love with a whore.
Yeah, right. You can't do without her, and you can't. You really can't live with her.
Right. Right. Isn't it terrible?
That's great. Would you have done something different, do you think?
Yes, I would have done things differently.
What would they have been?
Knowing what I know now.
No, you wouldn't.
And no, I wouldn't. You're right.
We'd all do the same.
We'd all do the same.
Well, I think basically you've been honest. You haven't tried to be the political animal of many Republicans.
Well, that's perhaps because I was too stupid. Or too much of an egotist. I just really always enjoyed design, and it's true.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's just
a... You're doing something that very few people in the world are doing.
Right.
For a real elite group.
It's very creative. You work with the finest creative people around.
Yeah.
Really. I haven't found a dull moment in my whole career, really.
Really have. Exciting battles with engineers and marketing.
Right. And it's really not battles. It's just working out problems together. And I guess I say that, and I don't really mean it. It's just working together and working to a solution. You know, it's not that they're wrong and I'm right or anything like that. I've never felt that way. They have a hell of a lot to give, and I've got a hell of a lot to learn. In fact, the older I get, the more I realize I know less and less. I think we all do that.
Well, you're 60 years old this year.
Right.
And you don't have to retire. You go on for another five years.
The company's making it uncomfortable for you to stay, though.
Do they after 60?
Yeah, I think
they begin
so.
To...
Well, in other words, you're not promotable. And I really feel as though I should have been promoted.
Sure.
That's... Everybody probably is out. And I think it's sort of age discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And you
right.
can't blame them. They don't want to promote you. They'd rather bring in somebody younger and get you out of there, you know.
Or for tennis shows.
Right. You know, they really would like you to go away.
Yeah.
And
right.
I will go away at 65.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's 62.
62 now?
I'm going 62. I think they'll make our life miserable over there.
There's several of your age brackets in the same situation.
And they feel pretty much the same. You know.
I was looking back on your V-Day here. Tell us about the IDI award that you got for the design of the Ford Mustang. How'd that come from?
Johnny Niger is the guy that applied for that.
Really?
Through the...
What's the idea?
Industrial Designers of America, I think it was.
Should be IDA.
IDA. Yeah, I think it's IDA.
Okay,
good. And it's a recognized society similar to the ASV, you know, ASE.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they give out cookies every once in a while. And various designers around the country vote on which is the best design of the year.
Uh-huh.
So we were...
You were one of the...
Recipients of the medal.
Who else got that?
Well, I've got it on my desk. Gene Bordney, Joe Orse, Johnny Niger, Johnny Foster, that got killed. Yeah, up in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, we'll put a name in that if we want to.
Yeah.
Was Halderman involved?
Dave. Yeah, Halderman.
Yeah.
Well, he came out of the British studio.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Out of the West studio?
Out of his production studio.
Right, that's
right. Ford studio. I hit the name of it. Okay. Yeah.
And that so and you're of course yourself.
True.
Yeah.
Right. And
separate medals or separate.
Yeah, they gave us separate medals.
Good.
Everybody got a medal.
You got
a
new medal.
Did I say Gene Bordney did?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Gene Bordney.
That's sort of touching all bases.
No, they got as many guys as they had metal, I think.
Well, that must have been satisfying, at least, momentarily.
Yeah, it was satisfying, but it was also disappointing to see so many people around there that
really
didn't belong
really
there,
didn't belong.
You know?
Yeah.
And what I felt bad about was that I always claimed that the modeler that modeled it was the head modeler, should have been in on it, too. His name was Wally Amorosi. who's a retired model.
Emerald Rose, the MER and OSI.
Right.
He wasn't, they didn't put him.
And they wouldn't put him on there because he was a modeler, and Joe Orris didn't think too much of modelers at the time.
Modelers are another group of us on here.
Absolutely.
Firing. Right. Would be, then there would be any three-dimensional realization of what others have done.
Well, that's true. Right. Of course, years ago, we really didn't have modelers either in the business. You took a wood pattern maker,
right,
and you drew up a particular design and you gave it to a wood pattern maker. We are the ones that started modeling.
At Ford?
We started it out at Kaiser Frazier. And it was really started, anyway, I'll trace it back. It was started before that. And I think the first place clay was used was at Studebaker's.
Studebaker. Yeah. Pre-war.
I think it was pre-war.
Late.
Now, or let's see, I can go even further. It goes under Briggs. They were using clay at Briggs.
Back in the 30s.
Yeah.
I guess the head of the GM design group.
Who was that at the time?
Harley Earl.
Harley Earl?
Yeah.
It could have been.
Supposedly brought it.
Yeah.
And there had a particular type of play out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bodybuilders, Murray and Briggs and others, have a waxy face, so
yeah,
stuff kept crumbling and drying out. But so you guys really began to use clay as a design tool,
right?
Early on.
And we had to train the pattern makers into clay modelers.
Really?
Because they were the only ones that could read a drawing.
Ah.
Really?
Okay.
See?
Yeah. That's a natural evolution of their skill.
Of their skill, because if they could carve it out of wood, they could sure as hell carve it out of clay. And that's really the way they started at first, you know.
That's interesting. So it was much easier than pattern makers.
Yeah.
What were they pattern reading clay? What did, was it just a natural use of the 3/8 or the 1/4 bottles? They just wanted something quick, but would be large enough to show the
Well, a typical example would be Packard Motor Car Company had a design studio day. It was probably, well, from this wall to that wall, I'd say it's about 20-some feet. What'd you say, about 20 feet?
Yeah.
And it was probably 9 feet wide. It was up on a third floor. And we worked in 10th and 3/8 scale models there because of the fact that we didn't have models. We did it ourselves.
I see. That's interesting.
And we could work on it. Then when we got a modeling room that was out in the wood shop, we finally recognized the need for that, where we could put one car in the studio. We worked on 3/8 models as study models and then went right into the full size. So it was a quick way of getting a picture of what we wanted, accepting that, and then going on.
That was the very early days, 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you got to Ford, what were they doing?
Ford was still clay modeling on wooden slats.
Really?
Yeah. They used to build up a complete buck. They dropped the section of the vehicle 3 to 5 inches from the outside of the projected surface, and then they would put clay on those slats. That was really something.
That would be their lathe effect.
Pardon?
A lathe, something.
A lattice.
A lattice.
Yeah, it was like lattice, you know. Yeah. Only it was 3/4 by 3/4 slats,
yeah,
you know, and they were nailed on in the form of a vehicle,
yeah,
which you had already drawn full size.
A lattice.
Right, a lattice.
What about the templates? Would they be
templates?
Templates.
Yes, that was very different. Well, all we had is angles, and that worked off a surface plate that we had laid down on the floor. And then you would just simply cut a section off your drawing. I mean, you drew up the sections. Trace them off for the modelers or cut out a piece of template board, or if it was that accurate that you had to have it accurate, they'd cut it out of masonite or plywood.
Yeah, right.
And set it into the model.
Well, in a career that spans very close to 40 years, you've seen a lot. Obviously, you've seen a lot of good people, a few good people, a lot of not so talented people. But basically, is the design in the automotive design field, has it changed radically since in those 40 years, or is it basically you're still doing pretty much the same type of work? I mean, is the design principle still the same?
Design principle is, I believe, are the same.
Yeah.
I think the way we're getting there is changing. I think the ultimate goals are the same, is to get an exciting new product,
right,
and to solve problems either created by ourselves or created by the government. I mean, package-wise, size of vehicle, running gear, whatever. It's basically problem solving or packaging. But so I think the desire is there. I think the method of getting there, of projecting your thoughts to others, will not change. I think that the designer still must sketch, present the ideas to management. In model form, I think that he has to sell his idea with the sketch. He has to sell the idea to such an extent that we will make a clay model or a three-dimensional model out of the design. That is changing drastically. Now with the tubes that we have and the equipment that we have, the digitizing of models where we can take equipment, go up to the model, and have the entire surface taken off the model by the digitizer, that can go immediately into a mill and mill another exterior model. I think that designing will be done on the tubes.
You're talking about the computer-aided design.
The computer-aided designs. I think that's coming rapidly. It's in its infancy right now, and I think we're having somewhat of a time with it right now.
Why
people dislike it because they don't understand.
Is that part of it? They don't understand. Right. Is it? But there are. It does have its limitations.
It does. Right now, we only have one view that you can work on at the moment. It's either side view, rear view, or you can articulate the thing and make it rotate. You can do a number of things like that. Most of the problems with the equipment that we have now is that there isn't any perspective to it. So front end and the rear end are, you know, three-quarter front view are both the same size, are in the same plane. But we have a few people that can put it into perspective, that they understand that the picture plane is here and the points that they've taken are back in this box. That gives you a perspective. That's part of the problem. But I think the designer of the future will be using that tube much more often.
What's your personal view? Do you find it useful?
Right now they're training the younger people on the tubes.
Really?
Right. We have engineers that are trained on the tube. In my opinion, I think that is wrong because they don't have the design background that is needed to put the lines in the proper places and know what services they're going to do. They put them together very crudely.
Utilitarian.
Yes.
What happens to the, supposing you finalize a design or part of a design on a computer screen, how do you lock it in? How does it become, how is it transferred to a finished part?
Well, the way we do it now is that the machine will store the information, the computer stores the information.
Okay.
It also goes through a printer, and all you have to do is say print out. And it will make the full-size drawing for you, or a 10-size drawing, or a 3/8-size drawing. It'll do any size drawing you want.
It's versatile, that
too. It's versatile, it's telling, it's quick, it's
telling. Yeah. Right.
Once the information is in it,
yeah.
It's like anything else. You have to spoon-feed the information into the computer. And not being trained on a tube, I really don't know. In fact, that's one of my complaints. I got people that work for me, they're working on the tube, and I really don't know if they're snowing me or not. Does it really take 3 hours to do that? Now, if I were trained on a tube, and if I did it in 15 minutes,
yeah.
Then I want him to do it in 15 minutes. But, no, I think
it's the wave of the future, though, isn't it?
I think so.
Do you think everybody in design management are committed to it?
Well, they better be committed to it because you're spending a hell of a lot of money on it.
Yeah. I guess everybody's now got a desktop monitor.
No, they don't.
And a light pen, they don't.
No.
Being selected.
The group right now, it's getting the computers are the engineering group. In fact, what we used to have them is layout people or our preliminary engineers.
They're the only ones getting it.
They're the only ones getting it.
That uses that sort of elementary kind of tool.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So they're waiting for the more technology to be able to use it as a complete design tool.
Well, with the money that they're putting into it, the tubes that we have now are obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like anything in electronics.
Mm-hmm. Very
really.
Quickly, yeah.
In order to do a job properly, you should have the four views on the tube at one time. So that when you change a line in side view, you can see what it does in plan view, and front view, and rear view. You see? Now, our machines are not capable of that yet, but there are machines on the market that would do that.
There is sophisticated machines, but they're horribly expensive, or what?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that we don't have, you know.
Is that a conscious management decision?
It must have been.
I suppose the nightmare of the planner in this area would be that the moment you buy, you can buy a huge consignment and get it installed, they're obsolete.
Right.
Somebody come along with much better capability.
Yeah. And more bits of information in it, because, you know, to develop a line, or the machine is only capable of doing very mechanical things, like you ask for a sweep. Well, it can calculate 3/8 of an inch within 60 inches.
Right.
You know, and it will calculate this line out perfectly.
Mm.
You know. But let us say that it has a 1,000 bits of information into it. And I want to feed 10,000 bits of information into it.
Mm-hmm.
The machines are not capable, or the tube isn't capable of doing that. It's only divided in so many squares. You know, it's like your TV tube. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, slightly different in concept.
Right. Different in concept, but yet the bits of information to make a beautiful line, or let's say if you made a spiral, I can get the machine to run out of enough little bits of information where it can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. We're overloading the tubes.
And yet, they're committed.
They're committed.
Like,
to what they have.
Yeah.
And I think they're just going to have to constantly update all their equipment as quickly as they can. And I don't know how expensive that is.
I suppose if you're astute, you'll watch which equipment is adaptable to the present system you have and try and utilize that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
We've got the Lundy tubes that, in my opinion, and watching it operate, you know, it seems as though everybody is operating out of one computer, and that computer gets up to here every once in a while, and you sit around and wait for your information. You can't get in the door. You know? You can't get access to it because there are too many people into the computer asking for perhaps the same thing or trying to go down the same corridor that you're trying to get to get to your drawing in a particular file.
Right.
But they are marvelous.
Huh. I had an impression from talking to you. They build these it's getting more and more complex. The technology is expanding rapidly in this area. We've got CAD CAMs, computer aided manufacturing. How does that work? Is that strictly transmitting what you see on the tube to a robot operated line?
I don't know that much about
it. Yeah.
I really don't.
That's become very trendy in the automobiles.
Yeah. You got robots running your machinery that's running the other machinery to produce the product. That's the ultimate, really.
Yeah.
But as far as our work goes, it's strictly taking points off a three-dimensional model, putting them on paper, so that they can be designed, like the draw angles have to be figured out, the welding flanges have to be figured out, and all this can be done on the tube.
Mm-hmm.
And all the parts put together, and it can all be done on the tube. But the finessing of details that must be done, which the old surface people would do, is not being done by the operators because they are not trained in looking at lines. So the biggest thing that is hurting Ford Motor Company now is that the computer drawings that we send out as drawings to be made, or dies to be made from, are not finessed or checked. And we used to check them. Somehow they're getting out of the company, and I go out to vendors and look at some models that are in terrible shape, and simply because there isn't enough information on the drawing, or the information is so crudely put on the drawing from the computer because the operator did not use more bits of information to develop his lines, and he leaves it to the vendor to figure out for them, really. And that isn't the way things are going.
Certainly you would have a chance to do more streamlined drawing
on
the tube.
No, not necessarily.
No.
I don't, why do you think that?
I'm not sure, because it has a facility, a facile message.
No, you can't draw on a tube.
You can't?
No.
Oh, so there's no external design.
In other words, it's like a pen. In other words, I can sit down and draw a line on a piece of paper. I haven't seen any equipment around there that we can do that with.
Oh, really?
No. That information has to be fed into it. What we do, Dave, is we still make a full-size drawing of the design.
Do you still make
now we take that same design which is a full-size drawing of the car. And we develop our plan view section, our front view, our rear view, and we send that board down the stairs to the group that runs our scanner, and they have a scanner that scans those lines. And as
electronically.
So it picks up all these lines, puts it into the computer, then it draws a drawing for us, right?
Yeah.
So all that work used to be done manually. Well, this process takes about twice as long to do that as a man could do it manually.
Really?
Right.
Then what is the attraction?
The attraction is that it's new equipment, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a new technology, and it is better. Once it's up there, I can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could have changed it with a man, but I can get a drawing out of the machine, let's say within a half a day, and I really couldn't get a guy to draw all of that in a half a day.
Yeah.
So you lose on some, you gain on the other. But see, to get there, you have to use the old-fashioned method. You can't. Now, once it's on the tube, you can sweeten the line, change the line, do what you want.
What about new regs and design? What are they doing?
The same as we were taught.
Yeah.
The techniques are maybe a little bit different, but none of them come in with computer savvy.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what type of equipment we have. General Motors is one type, we use another type.
Yeah.
American Motors, if they have a system, probably use another type.
You still using Burroughs?
Burroughs for what? Computers?
For computers, yeah.
Now, the only thing that I see around there is, hell, I don't even know what they're there. I see a couple looking apples on engineers' desk.
Yeah, the personal.
Because that's it.
Personal.
No, they're using it for engineering.
They're probably compatible with the system.
Yeah. But the only other ones are the Lundy tubes, and as far as the other computers, I really don't know.
Usually the Lundy tubes are almost obsolete by then.
I think they are. I think they're slow. You can only get and information coming back.
Yeah.
And you can't get the four views in.
Looking beyond the century, looking beyond into the Ford has got a studio called 2000X. What are they planning? What can you say in general terms what their plans are for that kind of, or is it just a public relations?
I think hopefully that all design studios would be like 2000X studio. I think. Right now, it's a public relations thing.
Yeah.
Here again, it's just the designer pushing the system further than what he knows it can go.
Yeah.
And I think we have to do that to make the system do that. You know, years ago when they talked about designing on a tube, somebody didn't push them far enough.
Yeah.
Or they weren't talking to the designers.
But pretty soon will the human element will be reduced in the 21st century design studio? Will there be more reliance on electronics and
I believe it'll take less
visual
people to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think that you'll be able to mill right from the information on the tube. In other words, you can have a model in one room and it will be cutting that model while you're adjusting the lines.
Really?
And I think it'll be marvelous.
Million scorings are set.
Heard?
Exactly what is a million and what is a scoring?
Oh. Well, milling is actually taking away material.
Right.
And making a form.
In other words, you're stripping away the
yeah,
clay.
And it's a five-axis mill.
Well, what does that mean?
It means that it will get in five different positions, horizontal or vertical, upside down, uh-huh. and sideways.
Uh-huh.
You know. And right now we only have a two-axis mill. It'll mill around a corner and then you have to start on the other side and mill up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this new one should be able to go down, under, and up. The other is merely scribing.
Scoring.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. Scoring? Did I use that?
No, I used it.
Oh, okay.
I thought
scoring?
Yeah.
Well, I would say something when you draw a line, you know, and you make a line deep, scoring it
yeah,
like if
right.
I scored a line in the glass.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that part of the
no.
In the clay model area?
No, it comes out like that, though, Dave. If you look at the model,
oh, okay.
it looks like scored lines in it.
That's what
because
I thought.
Actually what it's doing is cutting sections for every 100 millimeters.
Okay.
And it makes a checkerboard, because you got them vertically
yeah.
and horizontally.
Sure.
No, that's all right.
Well, in terms of what Ford has done, in terms of what General Motors has done, is it feasible to say that Ford has taken a sort of a leapfrog over General Motors and has sort of dared them to
I think General Motors have come back a very formidable opponent. If we think we have it over them now, design-wise,
yeah.
we really don't. We don't have the capacity to produce the number of cars that General Motors does. And I think they really don't give a damn what
I think once they're committed to a design, they'll stick with it until there's a change of administration, and then they'll probably go down and round.
Well, it doesn't matter what they put out.
Yeah, they still sell it.
They still sell it. And next year will be better. And
yeah.
their cars, you know it, and I know it, and people say they'll never buy another Cadillac again, but the guy's going to buy a Cadillac again.
Yeah.
Or he may buy a Lincoln for a while, but he'll be back to his Cadillac. Because they're not going to sit on their duff over there.
Right.
What they're doing over there, they're putting more overhang on those vehicles. They're going to make them look longer.
Yeah.
And they'll look a little bit better. And
another cycle is starting, isn't it?
And how aerodynamic can you go, babe?
Well, true. I don't know what.
You know?
And how far I'm down in a wedge.
How many silver bullets?
It appears to be the GM with its. The Japanese with the sporty cars have really gone down to the wedge anyway.
Correct.
Down to the ultimate.
Yeah.
And moving that way in the rear. Moving back to the old tear duct machine.
Yeah, well, if you actually look at it, and I kid the folks about it quite often, actually we're going back to the old Chrysler fins, because these wedges and the towel racks on
yeah.
the back
yeah.
of the vehicle, which are supposed to be our spoilers, if you look at it in a side view, they look like the old Chrysler fins, you know. It looks as though we're turning full circle, yeah. You know?
The current cars, the 87s, are just merely facelifts, hardly any change at all.
That's right.
Yeah. When does the first big change come in the next 5 years? Projected yet into
our next, as far as the Ford goes, will be a 90.
90.
Yeah. We are bringing out new products. We've got a new product coming out in, a facelift in 88.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have an FN9 in 88. Which is new, but it really isn't new. You're right there. So I would say 90 is your next...
threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be our next
in
benchmark.
In general terms, what is being planned? This will be heard probably in 1990.
90?
Yeah, what sort of configurations are they? Longer and lower? Rounder?
Well, what we're playing with in our studio right now is proportions.
Proportions?
Right. Still with the aerodynamics, but what we're playing with is a short but long deck and medium greenhouse. So it really is a short but normal greenhouse and a longer deck lid. In fact, we're playing with one with a 53-inch overhang, which is back to the 60s. You see?
Why the overhang? Why the longer deck? Who cares?
Well, people care. Right. It's to be a family studio. And you want lots of luggage space. Okay. Today we have absolutely no luggage space. You take a mark and you put in a pack of cigarettes, and that's all you get in there. You can't even get your golf clubs in, right?
Yeah, right. I've seen the Thunderbird. You can't get a small suitcase.
Right. You can't even get a bag of groceries in.
Right.
Bad deal.
Yeah. So really, they're coming back to what people want. More luggage space, more groceries.
Yeah, that's what we're playing with. Yeah. And we're still, I think the cars will remain aerodynamic in a...
They're not going to lose that. That's just too good.
I don't think they'll lose it, no.
Yeah.
I think it'll be modified a lot,
okay.
And it has to be. And I think you'll see a few of the old cliches coming back where you do see the corner of the fenders, only it'll be in a new aerodynamic way.
Uh-huh.
Right now, you can sit there and you can't see your front end, you know. All you're driving around is a windshield. Now, that's wrong, too. You know, we go overboard every once in a while. But I think we're on the right track. I think we're going to... The designers have got a hell of an opportunity. With design, really, you're starting over every project that you have.
Mm-hmm.
The world is your oyster.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's what's interesting.
Yes.
Makes it exciting.
Because we are the people that set the trends. We are the ones with creative minds. And this is endless. It will go on until hell freezes over. You can say, well, we've hit the ultimate design. The silver bullet is here. But it really isn't. Some clever little devil will come along and change that silver bullet and it'll start all over again.
Well,
why don't you go home, Charles?
No. We got a little more time. Just about 5 minutes. I wanted to ask you, are we moving in terms away from the driver making the decisions electronically? Are we moving into an area where more and more decisions are made by computers, onboard computers? Do you see that in your area?
We hear of that.
You hear of that.
We hear of it, but we don't see it in our area. No. That's well beyond us, you know. The closest thing that we've come to that is Johnny Reinhardt at one time trying to sell me this little computer chip that I brought into the company that some Japanese outfit made up, and all it is a little sonar thing. When you get back up and you're getting within 2 feet of the car behind you,
mm-hmm.
It beeps.
It beeps. Yeah.
Well, he's like, I think I gave it to Mabley.
Who's
Mabley? Mabley is the VP of truck.
Oh,
yeah, it's a hell of a good thing for a truck, you know?
Sure, perfect.
And he kind of poo-pooed it and laughed it off. But, yeah, it was a hell of a good idea. You know, everybody that drives a damn truck can't see out of the damn thing. No. It's a hell of a nice feature.
He didn't buy it.
You know, he wouldn't buy it.
Huh.
So, I love Mabley. I think he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a nickel and dime piece of equipment, but...
Well, boy, how basic it would be.
Yeah.
Those are the big problems with the trucks.
Yeah. Well, even with a car.
A car, too. I have a helmet.
Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with things like that. I think they're great.
you can't get them to really sit down and say this is what this
no.
is you should have done.
No.
All we can do is keep designing it in. In other words, and that's something that's very hard to design.
Yeah.
Piece of electronics in a
right.
car.
Yeah.
All it is a feature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So unless it shows like a bow tie.
Yeah.
Or standing around with your fly open.
So I can point at it.
Yeah.
Well, you've had a lot of fun, fascinating career. I think you have really been given the recognition you deserve.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Or maybe I got too much as it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.